Welcome to Loaded and Rolling Live with Thomas Wasson. That's right. I'm going to start adding the live portion here. This is indeed most of the time a live show. And as such, I'm just going to dive into the topic and see what we got going on. This one is going to be the U.S.-Mexico cross-border trade and nearshoring. So, you know, I typically stay in the trucking lane, but trucking encompasses everything. So there's always a reason to talk about all the elements that impact trucking. And this one is a big one. The Mexico cross-border trade, not only has it been increasing because of nearshoring, but there is an entire separate ecosystem of working with carriers south of the border. That's right, folks. You thought the FMCSA was the law of the land. Well, you go south of the Rio Grande River, my friend, and they use different things, including no ELDs. So a little bit of a preview, but we're going to bring on one of the experts here to talk about what is this? How does it work? Why is it such a big deal? Why we should pay attention to it? And it's going to be welcoming Danny Gordon, head of sales and account management at Nuvo Cargo. Going to be joining us. Danny, pleasure to get to talk to you. I got to speak to you earlier back in the day in the interview. It's such good stuff. I was like, man, I wish I could just play the recording. So here we are doing the recording.
Perfect. Happy to be here. Thanks, Thomas.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, because I've noticed when it comes to cross-border, even drayage, when you go outside of the typical point-to-point trucking, what kind of made you start getting interested in this and then learning more and becoming one of the gurus in terms of moving these specialized elements compared to point-to-point trucking?
Yeah, I think the U.S.-Mexico trucking dynamic is just so much more unique and different than what you see on the typical domestic U.S. side. There's so much more complexity. There's a lot more strategic conversations to be had when it comes to the customers you're working with and how those companies execute. You're really talking about their global supply chain, right? And the providers that can help them are much more limited, and those who can do it well with operations actually on the ground in Mexico are even fewer. So I think it's just a really cool niche space within the larger transportation space that appealed to me for those reasons.
And when you're looking at those customers, if you're like a multinational, you're a big customer. It's not like, even when I was a freight broker, you'd find Joe's mom and pop who provided packaging peanuts or a small paper mill. This is a multinational that has this end-to-end. Describe some of this process, because I feel like these customers, when they're looking at cross-border and everything, it's a very different beast. It's kind of like a different lens.
Yes, it's definitely different. I think the interesting thing is you're right. You know, every Fortune 500, like global brand who makes something, there's a good chance they mix it or a piece of it or a part of it in Mexico. That's very common. But the other end of the spectrum, which we're seeing more and more today than ever, with the rise of the trendy term nearshoring, is that there are companies who are maybe much younger in their life cycle or just starting out, and instead of traditionally finding a manufacturer in China, they're looking to Mexico. So they're just figuring out how to do U.S.-Mexico transportation, and companies like us in Nuvo Cargo and saying, how do I do this? Do I need customs? What does that mean? What does that look like? For example, if you think of all the new tequila companies that have emerged over the past couple of years, they're just starting out doing their U.S.-Mexico transportation. So it ranges all the way from the biggest companies in the world that have been doing manufacturing in Mexico for decades and decades, especially in the automotive sector, to up-and-comers who are kind of riding this nearshoring wave and trying to figure out what it means to manufacture and then ship from Mexico to the U.S.
It reminds me of an exercise. So I took an MBA while I was doing my corporate middle management in the past life. And one of the interesting things was, when you're starting off a company, you got to figure out where to put it. So this exercise was like, do you want to set up in China? Do you want to set up in the US? Do you want to set up in Mexico? And so part of what you're saying is, for these companies that Mexico's booming, I think it's like $2 billion in like trade of beer alone in the past 2 months for Roy Mahoney. That's where you come in, because they don't know. They're thinking, well, where do I need to set up shop? And that's part of this nearshoring, is these companies are putting their first foundation, not just the companies we hear of, well, I just need to move from China or East Asia, I'm going to put a portion of it. So we're seeing like fresh grassroots movement.
Yes,
almost.
Exactly. So it's really coming from both ends. Like, as big as it gets to just starting out, or kind of, and everything in between is the range of conversations we're having right now, which I'm pretty sure was not always the case.
And it kind of brings a question, because that's one thing it took me a while to wrap my head around. When I worked at like a U.S. Express, we typically would move things either door to door. So like a Mexican carrier, I'd pick it up in Mexico, I'd send it all the way to the U.S. and the Mexican carrier would come back. Or it gets to the border, it involves the cross border and all the extra movements. When customers are approaching you and when you're talking with customers and stuff, doing this end to end or doing the steps, what are some of the big pieces to understand? Like, for example, with drayage, I just learned there's like three different parts just moving the container that could be three moves. Is that a similar situation with the border, like a land port?
Yes, it can be similar in that there are multiple options when it comes to crossing that border. So there's the traditional door-to-door route, which you just talked about, right? Pick it up in one trailer, deliver it in the U.S. in the same trailer. And that product crosses the border in that trailer. You can do that with the same driver, a B1 driver, who's a specially licensed driver that can drive in both countries. That's the simplest way. And then you could do it also door-to-door in that same trailer, but you're switching trucks and drivers at the border from a Mexican partner carrier to a U.S. carrier. That's kind of the next version. And then you can transload it, which involves a whole nother facility and a transfer carrier, which is kind of, it's kind of commodity dependent, you know, like the urgency, how fast does the receiver need it? And that'll kind of determine your transload versus direct options. Is the commodity fragile? Do they even want to transload it? Those kind of things. So there's a lot to consider there and a lot of different options, and it all can either add or subtract from the amount of parties involved in that move, which is typically the highest contributor to the complexity involved. Is you're coordinating all these different parties. If you're transloading it, you're adding in a whole extra facility. And we haven't even talked about customs. You know, you have customs agents on either side of the border, which need to be cleared. And there's, as you can imagine, quite a bit of paperwork that needs to exchange hands, mostly via email, thankfully. But there's a lot of work to be done on that side as well, in addition to the actual transport.
So let's dive into, because it is, that's what blows my mind, is there's the extra steps. You need specialization. It's not just it magically shows up at these parts. There's a, when we say nearshoring, there's also a buildup of these support facilities that also need providers and also need capacity. Customs agents and brokers, that's the other part. So I can hand the trailer off and I can pass it from a Mexican driver to a U.S. driver at a location, or I can take it to a facility, they unload it from the trailer, they put it in a new trailer. But before it even reaches those instances, mm-hmm. it's got to cross a border at the port of entry or a border crossing. What does that look like? Is there one agent? Is there two agents? Like, how do I have to deal with that kind of complexity before it even gets to the part where I can like hand it off?
Yeah. So there is a agent on the Mexican side, that's your Mexican customs broker, and an agent on the U.S. side, that's your U.S. customs broker, and you need both. Obviously, you know, things are a little bit more straightforward on the U.S. side. On the Mexican side, we've had, you know, recent new regulations that have complicated things a little bit. The new Carta Porte, for example, has caused a little bit of a stir. There's a tendency for, you know, it's not uncommon to see like the entire Mexico customs system go down and have like a system outage that prevents trucks from crossing. So you need both. And typically, like, there's still options to consolidate it. Let's say if you're a U.S. company, which I assume, you know, most of this audience probably is, you can work with a company like Nuevo Cargo, for example, where, you know, we can handle all of the customs for you. And our license is only as a U.S. customs agent, obviously, but we partner then with a broker on the Mexican side, but we still handle all of the documentation, paperwork, processing, et cetera. So you can still work through one consolidated customs party. Obviously, if you can do it with the same company that's moving the freight, that's even better. That's even one less, you know, game of telephone you have to play. For example, you know, that's what Nuvo does and a few other companies do. But that is one way to kind of reduce some risk and better streamline your communication when moving across the border, is to find those providers that can kind of handle everything for you.
And when it breaks down, I'm assuming if you have two customs border, the Mexico and the U.S. one, each one has their own set of paperwork and documents. If it doesn't work right, because this is prefacing how we communicate, I wanted to go into the WhatsApp thing, but this is how I can mess up. I'm assuming you can show up at the border, have the U.S. paperwork, but then you didn't get the Mexico paperwork or vice versa. And then that turns into a game of phone tag while you're even just waiting.
100%. Yeah, I mean, it's the most common cause of delays in transit on cross-border moves is delays at the border, by far. you know, people often underestimate the complexity of the paperwork required, how much paperwork is required, how you have to file, like literally a typo of you type a 9 instead of an 8 on the wrong piece of paper and you're stuck at the border for 3 days, you know, trying to figure out what was wrong and reprinting and reprocessing all of that paperwork. So it really is that specific and that important to the entire process.
And as we're looking at communication, so I think a lot of times in trucking, logistics, brokerage world, we're used to the FMCSA list. We can cold call carriers. The data's all there. They have to have an ELD. So a lot of times there's better telematics. Tell us a little bit about what is it like on the Mexican side? Because I heard that it's a little more like the Wild West in terms of lack of infrastructure to even have that conversation compared to U.S. regs.
Absolutely. I think, you know, today is much different than even a couple of years ago in terms of the amount of drivers in Mexico that have a smartphone. You know, it used to be Nokia, Nextel phone kind of things. But at least now, majority have smartphones and therefore can use WhatsApp, right? So everyone in Mexico, even in like normal everyday texting, is via WhatsApp. So that's how majority of these carriers still communicate. Even if they have the ability to email, WhatsApp is preferred and viewed as more efficient. And a lot of the tools that we see now working in the US, think of your standard, you know, suite of visibility tools. You know, they have some functionality in Mexico, but only for the larger, like very tech forward integrated carriers is that going to work. Majority of our carrier base probably hasn't integrated with those tools, and you're going to have to use WhatsApp. And then, you know, getting that information from WhatsApp into whatever TMS you're using is kind of a whole nother internal puzzle, because I'm going to bet that your TMS is not integrated with WhatsApp like it may do for emails or anything like that, or maybe, you know, using new AI tools to pull information from carriers into your TMS. And because everything is coming through WhatsApp, that's really not possible. So it's still a very manual process. And that's assuming you can even, you know, get them on the phone and get that information in the first place, which, like you said, is a bit more of the Wild Wild West than it is domestically in the U.S.
Well, that's a challenge, because they have, there was one of the things I spoke to you about, and I heard it, I can't remember, there's a specific thing to make sure you're legit enough to cross the border. It's a certification. But how do you find the Mexican carriers to haul? Because a lot of them are small mom and pops. When I spoke to you early about this, that, and they're using WhatsApp. Like, what does that look like? Because back in the day when I even did a broker, it was like, you can brute force it. I can brute force this carrier list or this load board. Does Mexico have a load board that you can brute force, or, you know, how do you even build that connection?
Yeah, no, there's not. There's no load board. There's no register of carriers. Like, you have to know someone who knows someone, or get referrals, or kind of know who to call. It's kind of still tribal knowledge at this point. You know, there's no yellow pages, there's no public facing load boards. Like, it's kind of crazy. And not to mention, unlike the US, where you can randomly call carriers and get a rate, in Mexico, most of the time, if they don't know who you are, they won't even give you a rate. They'll hang up on you. So not only can you not find them, but then you have to find them and develop a relationship with them for them to even consider, you know, doing business with you. So it is, you know, probably what we would consider much more old school, a little bit more traditional way of working. But there really isn't that supply consolidation that we've seen happen in the US, and it's not nearly as transactional. So, you know, there's not the spot market, especially, isn't quite as robust. Everything due to the manufacturing is pretty scheduled, especially when you look at something like automotive. And, you know, just getting them on the phone, which may be half the battle, doesn't mean you're going to solve your problem there. Then who are you? Why should I trust you? You know, how do I know you pay? Those kind of things. And you're the best carriers, typically you need to meet in person and get to know and develop that business relationship before you can do a substantial amount of the business with them.
And that opens up the door for the potential of load security, fraud, safety. You know, Mexico is making some improvements, but certain routes are not even as good. You know, is that a situation where it's one thing to find the carrier, but unlike the U.S., it's another thing to see if they're actually going to be safe? There's a lot more risk involved if you mess up.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of risk, especially if you know, are shipping a high value or highly desired commodity. You know, you're going to want to be extremely careful about the carriers you do choose once you find them, and then what the precautions are, you know, around what they use while that truck is in transit in Mexico. I mean, obviously, CTPAT carriers are preferred. That means they have another level of compliance and security. CTPAT's a program administered by U.S. Customs. So that is kind of always, you know, step number one against any potential risk or fraud or anything like that would be to find carriers that are CTPAT certified. And then, you know, looking at geography a little bit, it really, where you ship or deliver to really has an effect on the risk. Obviously, the more miles you have in Mexico, the higher the risk. That's just kind of inherent. But if you pick a kind of random part of the country, maybe because you got a better deal on the plant or something like that, that may come back to bite you because carriers won't go there because one highway may not be safe, or it may not be safe in general. So sometimes you have to weigh paying that premium if you're just relocating manufacturing to be in a high traffic, maybe more expensive transportation area, but you know you're mitigating your risk quite a bit.
It reminds me of, I knew a guy in the Navy, and when they got deployed to a base in Sicily in Italy, the military actually had a specific amount for bribes, so you could bribe the parking people because they would try to shake you down. And so looking at like Mexico, we see growth in the Monterrey region. Is this something, as we're seeing this development, you know, you're working with soliciting customers, y'all are on the bleeding edge. Are they all clustering around the closest regions like that? I don't assume we're all just driving down the Yucatan and then trying to land route it all the way up.
Yeah, that's correct. Yucatan would be a very poor shipping place to build a manufacturing plant. But yes, Monterrey in the state of Nuevo León has definitely seen the highest rate of investment amid this nearshoring trend. And you know, Monterrey to Laredo has to be the most trafficked lane, highest volume lane in cross-border. The majority of manufacturing that goes to the U.S. is in Monterrey. It's only a 2-hour drive to the border. It's a very modern, well-established highway, very safe. So that's definitely where the bulk of it is coming from. That said, with all the trends, you know, Mexico being the number one trading partner, the amount of, you know, dollar investment has gone up, I think, over 30% year over year. It is leading new areas to grow very fast, like Querétaro down in kind of the central region, a little bit north of Mexico City. That whole region, you know, around Mexico City is called the Bajío in central Mexico. That area has seen a ton of growth. So Monterrey is and will be continued to kind of be the hub, if you will. But due to the growth, like, you know, Monterrey has a ton of space, but it's also the most expensive right now. So you are going to see growth of areas a little bit farther south, but still in that what we would consider, you know, safe, low risk kind of central Mexico area.
So we know that the manufacturer is growing. We know multinationals and corporations are moving in. Now, how do I find, in terms of the Mexican carriers, I like the CTPAT, that kind of acronym. Is that something that there is a large percentage of Mexican carriers with it? Or I'm imagining I get my Mexican carriers from word of mouth. They're legit. They haven't screwed me over. Do I want to help them get that? Is it almost like the U.S. companies you got to incubate, kind of like how Amazon does with some of their little third parties?
I would say your bigger Mexico carriers will have it because they're probably working direct with some larger U.S. companies who require it. But I would not say most. It's probably 50-50, honestly. And the ones who have it, you know, they know that they're in an advantageous position. They can chart. They have a higher. They have the certification. They provide a higher level of service and lower risk of you know, fraud or anything bad happening. So, and they can charge for that. So. You know, it is difficult certification to maintain. In terms of U.S. companies helping, I haven't quite seen that incubator idea happen, although that could be an interesting idea. I do think that as more companies, influential companies especially, relocate or start new operations in Mexico, there will probably be more and more companies who require it. So I think the Mexico carrier network will have to adapt, you know, if they want a piece of that pie, right? Because chances are, if you're a relatively large company and you already have these kind of compliance regulations in other places and you want to mirror that in Mexico, CTPAT is by far the most obvious one. So you're going to require that no matter what. So I do think as this trade lane continues to grow and evolve, I do think that the Mexico carrier network will, you know, evolve with it and you will see more CTPAT carriers in the future.
And looking at that, looking at freight, I always think of like a Twit card. This CT pad reminds me of like a Twit card almost that shows you you're safe. You go through a security check, you know, you can do TSA with a Twit. But is that something where some loads require only those types of drivers, or is this still something where some customers are like, I don't really need this yet? Is it mandated? Because I imagine when you're brokering it, that has to be an additional challenge if you're trying to build this organic base, but then you have customers who only require it and some that may not require it.
Exactly. So yeah, it's not load by load. It's customer by customer. So you either require it or you don't, because the carrier has to be CTPAT certified. The facility has to be CTPAT certified. So it's a whole network of vendors that have to be compliant to adhere to that CTPAT process. So it is an investment on all ends, especially those who are involved in that supply chain. So I think, you know, I don't know, like I said, I think it'll continue to grow. I think right now, you know, you can get away without it, and it definitely will be fine. It's not like a huge risk or anything, especially if you have, if you have a carrier with high service, you know, shipping out of the to or from the right area. I don't think it's a necessity by any means, because it is an investment to get and maintain that certification, but it definitely puts facilities and carriers who have it a cut above the rest.
And then so kind of full circle here, I found my Mexican carriers. I found some ones that are CTPAT compliant. How do I keep them? How do I use the tech? What do they want? A lot of carriers in the U.S. offer quick pay. They'll do the loads. They get a TMS. Mm-hmm. Nuvo Cargo has something similar to that. Talk a little bit about, is there anything specific that you have to kind of keep the Mexican carriers so they don't just jump ship to somebody else who may offer like better payment terms or something?
Yeah, I think obviously getting paid and getting paid fairly is, you know, will always is number one and will always be number one. But there are technological and human capital things that make Mexico carriers want to work with you. For example, you know, you mentioned Nuvo Cargo's product. You know, we have Nuvo S, a TMS that is specifically built for Mexico. So we make, you know, the process of executing cross-border much easier for them, especially compared to other providers who may be trying to execute, you know, US-Mexico loads in a legacy TMS that doesn't require the right documents, and that may lead to complications or may not have the right zip codes or locations in Mexico. So that may lead to errors. So, you know, we try to streamline that process via our technology, but also we have, you know, our biggest offices in Mexico City. That's where the heart of our company is. So all of our company is bilingual, both English and Spanish. So we can communicate with them on a level that, you know, a lot of US-based providers who may not have that really can't. You know, you may have a few people who speak Spanish, and, you know, you're kind of, you know, relying on them to make those phone calls. But I think that being able to meet them where they're at in terms of, you know, having people that can communicate and know how they operate in Mexico, and then having the technology that is built for the specific business that we're executing, it makes a big difference.
And wrapping things up here, because this is really a lot of great information to digest. You know, what are you looking forward to most in the coming years as Nuvo Cargo is expanding and the offerings are improving? What's on the radar? What are you excited about?
I'm excited, especially. So right now, I think you see, you know, every day there's a new announcement. You know, so-and-so is building a new plant in Monterrey or in central Mexico, and, you know, for X billions of dollars. And we've really started to see that, especially in the last year. But it's going to take, I think what people don't realize is it's going to take years, a couple years for those plans to be built, to come online, to start shipping. So I think the real tipping point of this whole nearshoring thing is going to be in 1 to 3 years, when all of these things that we've only seen in the news and is getting all the hype, but they're actually online, they're shipping, and they're requiring, you know, new carriers, new facilities, new transportation providers to go execute what they're doing out of these new facilities, right? And it's going to raise everyone's game. You know, the facilities are going to be new. They're going to be nicer. Carriers are going to have to provide better service to work with these companies. So I think, you know, everybody's seeing like right now is the time of nearshoring. And I'm excited to see what the next 1 to 3 years bring, when all of these announcements we're seeing actually are up and running, and we're seeing the effect that those have on the network.
Build the infrastructure now for the big surge in demand. I like it. Folks want to learn more about Nuvo Cargo, get in touch with you, check out your stuff. Best way to find out.
Nuvocargo.com, our website, or, you know, shoot me an email personally, Danny. gordon@nuvocargo.com. But our website would be the best place to start, and happy to help anyone who's interested or is currently doing US-Mexico shipping.
Love to hear it. Great getting to catch up as well. Looking forward to seeing how it develops. Appreciate you coming on the show, Danny.
Thanks, Thomas. Really appreciate the time.
That's going to be a wrap for this episode, but we have a lot more every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern. This will be on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, wherever else you may find it. We also have the newsletter, loadedandrolling.com. No, wait, freightwaves.com/loadedandrolling. I'm not cool enough for the URL yet. Check it out Thursdays, 2 p.m. Great stuff. Check out the folks at Nuvo Cargo as well. Join us next week. We'll do it live.